Good morning, everyone, everywhere. This is South Coast, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the South Coast Organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 in Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Kilo Bravo 8, Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they have checked in. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for this digital operation at www.voip.southcars.com. Your net control for this session actually is Gary, KC2RMO. His location is Syracuse, New York. I'm merely opening the session this morning. My name is Kathy. My call sign is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. And currently we are at a temperature of 80 degrees, high today of about 86. Beautiful start to the day. Prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled. If so, please come aboard. Okay, that's a great thing. How about any birthday stations either last week or this upcoming week that would like to come aboard so we can say happy, happy birthday? All right, no birthdays, and I always say the same thing. That means we're not getting any older. So this is the Sunday Morning Rag Chew. The purpose of this net is to bring our members and non-members together in a relaxed and informal atmosphere to enjoy a moderated rag chew. Our topic this morning to start things off is that popular Ask an Elmer. I do want to advise we record all the sessions, and if you've been part of this session this morning, you will be part of that recording. We always like to post them on our website as a podcast. So without any further ado, Mr. Gary, I'm going to turn it your direction. I will be listening in the background, but I'm going to be busy packing, which I have been doing for a couple of weeks. So with you, Gary, have a wonderful net, and everyone else have a wonderful day. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, KC2RMO. The floor is all yours.
Hey, thank you, Kathy, and happy packing to both you and Gordon. We have 43 degrees right now. It is murky and miserable here in Syracuse's beautiful outer Comstock section. And we got that sort of week coming up. I think it's going to be pretty much this way all week long. But welcome, everybody, everywhere, and thank you for connecting to South Cars and the Sunday Morning Rag Chew. Our topic, as Kathy had said this morning, is Ask an Elmer. If you're not familiar with it, it's kind of like tool time for amateur radio or the Possum Lodge. What we'll be doing is taking your questions about ham radio, and then we're just going to field it to everybody listening, see if anybody can come up with an answer for you. My backup, Jim, KV4QY, is here too. He's been in the game so long that he and Marconi were on a first-name basis. If he can't find the answer, nobody can find an answer. So we've got a good pool to choose from here. A lot of knowledge going on here. Plus, we'll invite any comments that you have on the current state of ham radio or anything of an informational nature you'd like to offer. Plus, we've got some interesting tidbits to offer a little bit later on in the net and the usual stuff too, of course. Let me just buy a nickel. So, it's time to Ask an Elmer here on South Cars. Now, whether you're a new ham, and we love to hear from new hams, so don't be shy. Or if you've been around the block a few times, we'd love to hear from you. We're taking check-ins right now. If you have a question or just want to say hello, come on aboard. I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars.
Kilo Charlie 9, Victor Alpha November.
6, Victor.
Get back to Yankee.
WB9, Oscar Sierra Tango.
WH2AAT.
Well, that's a good group to get things going with. So good morning to everybody. We'll get things underway with VAN. Come on aboard and welcome to Ask an Elmer.
Good morning, everyone. It's been kind of a while since I've been on South Cars at all, but hey, I got the time this morning, and as my luck has it, you're doing Asking Elmer, and I was wondering if anybody knew anything about All Stars. Seems like it's another VOIP way of going in. I signed up for it and wondered if anybody could give me some ins and outs before I start playing, but KC9BAN back to net.
Hey, well, thank you, Kevin. And, you know, that's a good question. I've been kind of curious about All-Star myself. It is kind of a VoIP mode. It is a way of interfacing with the internet with your handheld or with a radio. Let's throw that out there. There may be some people using it. Let's see if we can get some comment. Anybody familiar with All-Star or has some knowledge of All-Star, we'd like to hear about it. So come aboard now. Let's hear from you.
Six Vector will field that one.
I couldn't think of a better person to answer the question. Gordon, go right ahead.
Well, thanks, Gary. Good morning to you. Good morning to South Cars, and particularly good morning to you, Kevin. Let me suggest this, sir. We've had a number of programs here on our South Cars VOIP organization relative to All-Star and D-Star and you name it. May I suggest, Kevin, that you go into our website and go down on the left-hand border category listing and find podcasts. Click on that and a page will open up, and just scan the page for the podcast concerning All-Star. Very, very informative. One of the leading experts in that area was running the program, and I think most of your answers, at least initial answers, will be found there. What do you think, Kevin? Over.
That sounds like a perfect answer to me, because I enjoy doing podcasts. I know you guys do a good job of giving information, because I've taken at least partial advantage of that in the past, and that sounds very good, because I got a feeling I'm going to have a lot of questions and I don't want to dominate, but for now they'll give me a good starting place, and if I have more questions I'll try and find one of these Asking Elmer's rag shoes again and bend your ear again. So thank you very much, KC9BAN, back to net control.
Thanks, Kevin. And, yeah, Gordon, I seem to remember that was a tin a while back anyway, and we kind of covered a lot of that. I have really kind of forgotten a lot of that. I'll tell you the truth. I need to listen to the podcast, too, because there has been some talk of expanding it here locally, and I kind of wanted to check it out and, you know, get a little bit more involved on this end too. So that's going to be two for the podcast. Hey, you're next on the list, so come on aboard, Six Victor.
Okay, we get a double here this morning. Thanks, Gary. Good morning to Stephanie if she's listening in the background. You've got the weather report already for us from Kathy. It's going to be another sun-filled day. Sun, and more sun. No rain on the forecast. And we're looking forward to that. It's a beautiful morning so far. I did see some rain on the weather radar page that I was looking at a little while ago, up around the Panhandle and a little north of that. So, Jim and Rebecca, they're in Georgia. I suspect you might have a little drop or two falling on your parade here today from what I'm seeing. Other than that, I would ask this question, Gary, and you can field it whenever it fits, because I've read your script for this morning and you've got a lot that you want to cover. But I'm interested in hearing from anybody that has any comments regarding the new virus bug called Heartbleed. This is a virus that jumps into your machine, grabs all of your private information, It works on the Open SSL framework, and that's the Secure Sockets Layer is what SSL stands for. So some of our IT and computer experts out there might want to comment what their recommendation is to do next, other than change all your passwords. Back to you, Gary, KY6V.
Well, thanks, Gordon. And weather-wise, I'll tell you, I looked at the national radar this morning, and you guys in that extreme southeast portion of the United States really don't have anything too ugly coming your way. But if you look at the rest of the country, it's just this one big giant funk. for the next week. So it's like we're doomed, at least for the next 5 days. Yeah, that virus, that Heartbleed, is pretty bad stuff. It's been apparently out there for a couple of years, and pretty well distributed. So it's been doing its thing for a long time. And I guess the only practical way is to change your passwords. If there's any other ways to circumvent it, hopefully somebody will come aboard and has some suggestions too. But I think the most practical and most effective way is just go in and change your passwords on everything. But let's see if somebody else has an answer. So the question here is, as far as this Heartbleed virus goes, do you have any information as to the best way to avoid that? Let's hear from you right now as we continue the Sunday Morning Rag Chew. I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars.
Victor Hotel.
Steve, I was kind of hoping you'd come aboard with that, and good morning to you, sir, and welcome. Great to have you there. And can you tell us a little bit more about this? We'll go down to Louisiana and Steve.
Thank you, Gary, and good morning to everyone on board this morning. Heartbleed isn't really a virus or a worm. They were working on the code that implements OpenSSL. It's a little bag of programming code that people grab and put into projects. And when they were working on the code, apparently a couple years ago, they made a mistake in the programming and embedded this flaw into the code. So whoever is using a version of the code in their software project that has this bad code in it, all the traffic going in and out of that application has this problem. Changing your password doesn't help unless you know that both ends of the conversation no longer have the bug. So if you're running code that uses OpenSSL code, or where you're going, your bank, your grocery store, your drug store, a hobby group, if you are using HTTPS and the far end is using a web server that has that version of code, everything that goes back and forth can be picked up. Let me feed the meter here. So, number one, unless you know both sides have been fixed, there's no sense in making any changes. All you do is give them two of your passwords instead of one. On the other hand, I am not aware of any claim that the bug had been used prior to its announcement. So if it hasn't been used, then there has been no loss. I would worry most about your banking and things you interact with, your credit card, PayPal, things like that. But you're going to have to get something from each of those organizations that say that they never had the problem, or that they've fixed the problem. Hope that helps, Gary and Gordon. Back to you, KF5VH.
Thank you, Steve. And I had seen something somewhere you know, whether it was CNN or you know, whatever, some news outlet that had said that this had been around for a while, and they'd been exploiting it for a while. But you're right. You start seeing now on these on various sites, they're coming up with these disclaimers that you know, that say, you know, we have taken measures or so that this won't happen, or we never had the problem, and you know, you can use our site safely. I know if it had anything to do with my bank account, more power to them. Yeah, let them take it. It's a big problem, and you know, obviously, people that know coding, that's a crazy world. That really is. I worked for a software company for 7 years, and some of my best friends are coders. Let me tell you, I seem to know a lot of folks that do coding, and it is a different world, that's for sure. And if you can find a little exploit like that, if you're prone to going to the dark side, you know, you're going to use it. So, but thank you very, very much. And Gordon, I hope that helped you a little bit. Did that explain things a little better for you? Did that offer any hope for you, sir?
Well, yes, and thank you for that, Steve. I guess what I need to do, and Steve has suggested this also, is to go to the primary sources that I use and say, how say you? And then take it from there, Gary. KY6V, over.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And again, if you look, different sites, and again, I haven't paid an awful lot of attention to who it was, but I've seen two or three in just the course of me doing my normal day-to-day thing of people with Heartbleed disclaimers, you know. We never had this issue, or everything has been done to make sure that your transaction is safe and secure, blah, blah, blah. It's definitely dealt a blow to people using web services with confidence. And it's going to take a while to get that back. So, yeah, I guess the thing is go straight to the source and hold them to task. I think that's about it. Thanks, Gordon. Thank you, Steve. We move along to my backup, going down to Georgia, and saying hello to Jim Quebec Yankee. Hello there, sir.
This is JB4QY. Good morning, Gary and everyone on the net. I don't really have a question this morning. I just wanted to say good morning and all that sort of stuff. Of course, you said you knew I was here, but now I know you do. yeah, that's... And they're having a fit with several of them that are out there right now, and they're not none real new that I know of, anyway. But they do crop up every now and then. So viruses is still a thing to be concerned about, anyway. KVC4QY.
Well, thank you, Jim. Yeah, I always check. I always look to see if you're there. Is he there? Is he there? Yeah. Yeah, this thing is kind of different too, because it's not a virus. It's an exploit in the code, there's like a hole that people can use to extract this information, that's what makes it so darn hard. Because you know, yeah, if you have version one of a software, you know, it has the problem. If the server upgrades to version 2 and they fix it, they don't have the problem. So you have to say to the people that you're dealing with, what, you know, are you using the proper version of SSL? Do you have the code fixed? You know, if they're running an old version, and they'd be real fools if they're running the old version at this point, then you don't want to be dealing with these guys. You know, so it's not like if anything that's going to download and infect your machine. It's just a vulnerability that people exploit. But great to know you're there. And hello, Rebecca. And good to know you guys are along with us this morning. We will move along to OST as we continue asking Elmer. So come on aboard. Let's try it again. OST, Lee, are you with us?
Okay, I think we got it fixed now. Yes, we're with you, hardly, but we're here. Don't really have any comments for the net. However, I'm demonstrating EchoLink to a class of 15 prospective hams. So just thought we would get in here and show what a net operation was on EchoLink, and say hi to you fellows, and we'll get in and get out of here and get on with the class there. So that's all I have for this morning. WB9OST.
Absolutely awesome, and to you 15 guys and gals out there, absolutely awesome that you're there listening, and hope each and every one of you have success in getting your licenses, and hope we'll be talking to you as the days continue, and great to have you guys listening this morning too. Q1I is out there. I want to get to AAT first, Paul, and then we're going to pick you up at the end, okay? So we will move along to Alpha Alpha Tango. Come on aboard.
Okay, Gary and the rest of the net here. Gaylord WH2AAT. I'm located here in Orange Park, Florida. Got license over on Guam back in 78 when I was in the Navy, and always wanted to use the sun to power things, including computers and amateur radio, and I have succeeded in doing so. Might have been a little cost outlay, but hey, it sure feels good to have yesterday's power output was 30.56 kilowatts of energy produced, and I didn't have to lift a finger. Other than my workings prior to my life and getting the money out of the bank and paying for it, I figure it'll pay for itself in about 10 years or so. And one nice thing about it is I get a 30% tax rebate next year on income tax. I plan on using that possibly to buy me a new radio, which one I have no idea. I've scouted around here in the Northeast Florida area. I guarantee to make sure I'm not going to time anybody out. As Gordon says, I bought another nickel. And I'm doing my homework, you might say, locally, prior to going to the Orlando Ham Fest and standing in line. But anybody got any questions about solar workings? I can answer them. I'll Elmer you on that. And I'll put it back to you there, Gary. KC2RMO, WH2AAT Gaylord.
Hey, Gaylord, thank you. Hey, I'll tell you something. That is that's some pretty cool stuff, and that is something that we hear. Believe it or not, you can do solar power even in Syracuse, New York. We happen to live probably in the solar capital of the city. There's a lot of people in our immediate area that have done this, and it's really viable. If you can come out ahead doing solar, even in a place that gets, I think the figure here is it's 200 and I'm going to say 290 days out of the year have some degree of cloud cover here in Syracuse. It's like Seattle. It's the same idea. I think Seattle beats us, but it's the same idea. But you can get enough sun here to still come out and make solar power practical. So we started investigating that last year. Kind of got off the subject, but now that I'm semi-retired, I'll have a little more time to get involved with that again, and we ourselves may be coming to you solar powered sometime in the future. But thanks, Gaylord, and if anybody has any questions throughout the course of the net, for solar power, we will direct them to you. But right now, we move to Danbury, Connecticut, and my buddy. Hello there, Paul. Come on aboard.
Hey, good morning, Gary. Good morning, everyone on the net. WQ1I here, Danbury, Connecticut. It's a perfectly gloomy day out there, Gary. Sounds like you're having the same kind of weather. Cloudy, windy, fairly cold, 48 degrees, feels colder because of the wind, and just a nice day to not want to do anything. Terrible. No bike riding today. So anyway, Gary, I just wanted to have a couple comments here. The first one was with the All-Star. Just to reiterate Gordon's recommendation, a few months back I started playing with D-Star, and that's one of the first things that I did was I went back to that net, and I think it was about a year ago, when that net was held. And I do believe it was a Thursday night. And Mike was on there, KBAGGL, who was just full of all kinds of incredible information that night concerning D-Star, All-Star, Raspberry Pi. And it was just a great, great net. And I did listen to it again recently, like I said, and so I can recommend that. It's a great, great resource. And All-Star is similar to Echolink in the sense that you need to go online, go to their website, and register before you can do anything with it. And it's all that is talked about during that net, so it's a great resource. Let me drop it a second. And unfortunately, concerning the Heartbleed, my system went out. I dropped out from the server just as Steve was answering the question, and Steve's the guy I would have wanted to hear from on that one. So I missed pretty much everything that he said, and I couldn't get back in. I couldn't get back in on SCAR, so I had to come in through Delco Doug. But the thing I wanted to say about that was, this past, I don't know, December, I think, my Windows system PC finally died, and I picked myself up a new one, and it came with all kinds of stuff, Windows 8, which I hate, and came with Norton antivirus on a trial basis, excuse me, and because of that, because I have that running, I received something from them in the mail. And I guess if you're a registered user with them, they have a little, I guess you could call it an app. It's probably not the right word, but you type in websites, like your bank's website and Amazon.com, any of these places that you're worried about your passwords or any kind of vulnerability, and they instantly flash you green green or red that this website is no problem. So that was one thing. I don't know. I assume you need to be a owner of and registered with Norton to be able to use that. So, but that's it, Gary. Thanks for doing that, and we'll be listening in the rest of the way. WQ1I back to next.
Well, thank you, sir, and it is just great to have you aboard. And that's a fact. Comments here on a couple of those things that you'd mentioned. That I'm pretty sure, yeah, was a 10, and it was a great session. You're absolutely right. I had been interested in D-Star and All-Star for a while, and still am. And I remember that session covered everything that you'd ever want to know about it. And the problem was that, you know, I'm one of those people that if I don't use it right away, I lose it. So I have to go back and listen to that podcast again, because there really was a ton of absolutely awesome stuff in there. And I had seen in this month's LARC newsletter, the Liverpool Amateur Radio Club, of which I pay my dues every year, in Liverpool, New York, they or Amateur Repeater Club, rather, they're planning on expanding All-Star activities. So I said, hey, you know, maybe now's the time to get involved a little bit more, but I wanted to find out more about it. So that was kind of the impetus for that. The Heartbleed is not a virus. This is what we were talking about when you went away. it's a vulnerability in the SSL, the secure socket layer, of the server software. And basically it's you can change your passwords, but that's really not the fix. That's not going to make it any less vulnerable. The only way you can do it is to fix the code. So you have to secure that's what that app is doing. It's checking the version level of the software. If you have the correct level, rev level of the software, code's been fixed and you don't have to worry about it. But if you have an older version, it is vulnerable. And so what you have to do is go to the source. You have to say to the server end, to whoever's running that server, you know, what version are you using? Is this stuff secure? Let me buy a nickel. And you'll see, too, that a lot of sites are putting up notices that they are secure, that they have fixed any problems, and, you know, that it's okay to go. Windows 8, boy, there's a topic. I like you, am primarily a Mac user, and but I do have, I can't say I'm primarily a Mac user now. I was primarily a Mac user. I kind of split it between, I'm talking to you on the Mac. My workhorse machine is actually a Windows 7 machine. It's an HP, high-performance HP. But you know, I've been a Mac user ever since System 7, so, you know, but Windows 8, Steph has Windows 8 on her machine. She loves it. And I just never embraced Windows 8. It's like, so when I ordered this HP, it was the only one you could order with Windows 7, and I said, definitely give me this one. You know, I don't want 8. I put 8 on my laptop. I hated it. I got rid of it and put 7 on it. We have a little Windows Surface tablet which uses RT on it, and I love that little tablet. I really do. I like it better than our iPad. So do we have enough gadgets around here? You know, but I like it even better than the iPad, and that's Windows 8. So I think you have to. I think it shines in some environments better than others, and I guess it's. You get used to it, and it's okay. But as a primary OS, I don't know about that. You know, but I suppose you can get used to anything. But thank you, sir, for being there. And we continue things with Ask an Elmer. If you're just joining us, what is this thing? Well, it's basically questions about ham radio and technology, ham radio operating procedures, whatever, you know. We're just talking about stuff this morning that's ham radio related. Going to do a little spotlight segment in a little bit about a particular area of interest to me, and hopefully to you. Maybe you'll find that interesting. It'll be brief, and we've got some other things coming your way also. But right now, we'll take some more check-ins as we continue Asking Elmer on South Cars. Come on aboard.
Victor Hotel.
We have Steve for one more time. Anybody else wanting to check in right now? Well, nobody else for right now, so Steve, what's up?
Well, since there is some continued interest in Heartbleed, let me mention that there are applications you can get, programs you can get, to check sites. You run the program against the website, and it tells you whether it's been fixed or not. I wouldn't put my trust in that, because now you're believing someone who wrote a program to check someone else's work and give you an answer. Security is important enough. You should probably get your information from the source you're dealing with. Ask your bank whether they fixed the problem, not some unknown person who's going to supposedly test the bank. And for those that run the Chrome browser, there's a plug-in, an add-on to Chrome that does that same type of testing. The other thing I'll mention real quick is that the website's been updated. In the top box, one of the pictures is of a red car. The question for next week will be, who is driving the car, and why is that car important? Back to you, Gary. KC2RMO in the group, KF5VH. Oh, sorry about that.
I do that all the time. Thank you, Steve. Yeah, Paul was saying he got this this app or this program that does the checking. And you've got a great point, and I just see Paul responding there too. How do you trust a program to check a program? You know, I mean, you could just get a hold of something that that boguses it up, just makes it even easier. You know, so. I guess the thing is, get it straight from the horse's mouth. You know, call up the bank and say, you know, are you vulnerable? Have you taken measures to keep me secure? And hold them to it, you know, because they really do need to fix that. If they're not, that is just it's like a big neon sign, you know, it says, here, exploit me, you know. We're doing Ask an Elmer this morning. And one of the things I thought I'd like to do this morning is to do a little mention, a little spotlight segment here. And what I wanted to talk about this morning was one of the really special manufacturers of ham radio equipment. Now, we're certainly familiar with the big three, Yaesu, ICOM, and Kenwood, but there's a company out there that's been making some great stuff right here in the USA, in Sevierville, Tennessee, to be exact, for quite some time now, and I think that deserves a mention. The company's called Pentek. Now, let me state in no uncertain terms that I have no ties to the company, and certainly no pecuniary interest. That's the official word right there. I have, however, had an obsession with their stuff for years. I just love their stuff, and I wouldn't be held responsible for my behavior if I could locate a Pegasus in pristine condition. Now, a Pegasus, for those who don't know, is a software-defined radio that was way, way, way ahead of its time, and it's actually kind of become a cult item. It is you don't see people selling them; they hang on to them, and they came out around 1999, I think, and they are still every bit as good today as they were back then. Let me buy a nickel. Now, Pentek is a company with a terrific heritage, co-founded by Hams in 1968. One of the two co-founders was Al Kahn, K4FW, who also founded ElectroVoice. Now, if you're at all familiar with broadcast and professional sound applications, that name is bread and butter. Jack Birchfield, K4JU, the other co-founder, was also from EV, and is currently the president of the company. The company's known for high quality, although a little pricey, hardware, and legendary customer service. So, if you're familiar with Pentek, have you ever owned one of their rigs? We'll take check-ins right now with your comments or questions as Ask an Elmer continues on the Sunday Morning Rag Chew. I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars looking for check-ins right now.
Six, Victor.
Well, we have six, Victor. Anybody else want to jump in there? Looks like nobody's taking the plunge right now, Gordon, so go right ahead.
Hey, thanks, Gary. KY6V here. Pentek also puts on one fabulous Hamfest. Give them a plug. I'm going to take you off cue here for just a moment. I went into the website and pinned down the All-Star D-Star specifics. It ran on April the 11th, 2013. So you've got a good memory. You said about a year ago. April 11th, 2013. That was a Thursday in a TIN production for anybody that's interested. Back to you, sir, KY6V.
Well, thank you, sir. Yeah, I, you know, my memory, my God, my memory is so bad, I can't even remember this morning. But it did seem like it was somewhere around a year ago, and it was an awfully good program. It really was. I know I was just listening and just totally fascinated by it, you know, and I think Paul had the same impression too. So it was definitely good. And anybody who has any questions about All-Star or D-Star, it's on the South Cars website, and really definitely worth giving a listen to. It was a great program. You will learn a lot, and I think you'll get all your questions answered. However, if you're like me, you'll probably have to listen a couple of times because you're going to forget. We're doing Ask an Elmer this morning. I just kind of mentioned Tentec because as I was putting this net together, I was saying, well, you know, what can we talk about? And they popped into my head. And I'm just a big Tentec freak. I own an ICOM. And I'm very, very happy with my ICOM. I've got a 718, which is not a fancy rig. It's the Rambler American of HF rigs. I think that, you know, no frills, just gets the job done and does it very well, you know. But it's a great little rig. But throughout the years, I've looked at that Tentec stuff and. I don't know, there's a certain mystique attached to it. There's a great deal of quality that's associated with it. And listening to some of these names, you know, these are names that from the past that probably, you know, are semi-legendary anyway. There's the Argonaut and the Century and the Corsair and the Delta, the Pegasus, of course, the Omni series, the Eagle, which is the latest HF offering they have. There is the Paragon and the Scout. Remember the Scout with the little modules that you plugged in to change the band? And I'm sure I'm missing a couple here, but there was the basic ones anyway, or the bulk of them, I guess. And my monitor is flopping here. There we go. Okay, so you know, they've made some great stuff through the years, and they certainly have their fans. Let me buy a nickel. I've never owned one, and maybe one of these days I'll get my hands on one. If I get my hands on one, I've definitely, like I was saying, would like to get a hold of a Pegasus. That is a really cool SDR, and other than that, I think maybe I'd like to try for an Omni or a Jupiter or a Corsair. Those were some ones that I've had my eyes on through the years. So, well, we'll take your comments right now on Tentec or anything else as we take another round of check-ins as we continue the Sunday Morning Rag Chew. I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars.
One India.
Victor Alpha November for a recheck.
Couple that time around, and we will pick it up with One India. Hello there, Paul.
Hey, Gary. Good to be back. Tentec. I love Tentec stuff. I don't have any now, and I had two Tentec rigs. Never had one of the little Scouts. I always had my eye on those things, and, you know, there was a time there where you could have picked them up pretty cheap, and now they've gotten to the point where they're people really want them. And there's still, if you want to get one of those with a few bands and everything, it'll cost you close to $500 for one of those little doodads. But they've always been to me like kind of an intriguing little radio. But I had a Tentec Omni 6, and it was a great radio. It's one of those things that I wish I still had, but I had gotten rid of. And it was a great, especially for CW, it was an outstanding CW rig, and highly recommended. And this was right before they went with the digital signal processing, which they used, I guess they called the Omni 6 Plus or something like that. But it was a great, great radio. And I also had an Argonaut, but you're right. They keep bringing those names back, you know, so you can look at an Argo or an Argonaut, and it'll be one from 1960s or something like that, and then they come out with a new model. This was one of the newer models, and digital interface readout, and I think it put out 25 watts. But again, you could, you know, with 25 watts, especially on CW, you could work the world with it. So that was a cool little radio too. So I've always enjoyed Tentec stuff. And the new high-end rig looks outstanding too. But I don't think I'm buying any more HF rigs. I'm very happy with my K3, and we'll just leave it at that. So there you go, Gary. Back to that WQ1I.
Hey, thank you, Paul. That K3 is awesome stuff. But I've been a huge Tentec fan for years, and that Scout. I love that Scout. When I was getting my first HF rig, I was looking, you know, all over for what should I get, you know. And you're right, you could pick up those Scouts at a decent price back then. This was maybe, I'm going to say 6 years ago. And they were going, you could pick up a Scout with a couple of modules for about $250. And for those who are not familiar with the Tentec Scout, I think it's the model 555, if I recall correctly. But if what the deal is you don't have a switch to change bands with. All right, you have a slot, and you plug a module into this slot. So if you want to do 20 meters, you plug a 20-meter module in there, and the display on the right of the slot has the, you know, 025 or 000, and where you plug your module in is like 14. Okay, so, you know, it's really kind of cool, and the idea being that you can progress. You know, if you don't have a lot of money, you can start out with a 20-meter rig and then go 20 and 40 and then 20 and 40 and 80 and, you know, what have you. You know, you can buy the modules progressively, and you know, you don't have to do a big cash outlay all at once. Let me buy a nickel. So they have become as Tentec stuff tends to do, and I'm not really sure exactly why that is, other than there's a big cool factor with their stuff. But they developed this cult following, and that drives the price up. So that $250 radio above 5 or 6 years ago has become $500 now, you know. And like I was talking about earlier with the Pegasus, which is impossible to find. When you see them, they're $600 if you see them at all, and you never see one. You know, people just don't sell them. Paul's Omni was a great, great, absolutely phenomenal radio, and that again too has this legendary status. So it's great stuff, and definitely worth doing a little research on if you're not familiar with it, that's for sure. We will move along to VAN, and Kevin, hello there. Come on aboard.
Good morning once again. Thanks for the news about the podcast. I already downloaded so I can listen to it later about All-Star, and I was just curious. I was looking at the website, trying to see if there was like an RSS feed for those podcasts, or if I should just come back and peruse through and pick up the ones I want. Just curious, just so I'm not missing anything.
As far as I know, there's no RSS feed. Steve may want to comment to that, but I don't believe we are offering that. But maybe sometime in the future. But no, Steve, just if you look in your comment box, Steve, just put it up. We do not generate RSS. We haven't had any plans. I haven't heard any discussion of it, but maybe, who knows, you know, anything's possible. So maybe we'll be going there with that. But definitely you can get anything you want just by perusing through the website, and I'm sure you're gonna find what you want. But you are gonna enjoy that that podcast. I remember it well, at least in general, if not in specific comment. And I do know I walked away from that saying that's some good stuff. So you'll definitely benefit from it. We're doing Ask an Elmer this morning. We're taking your questions and comments about anything ham radio related. We're also doing a little spotlight on 10 tech equipment and asking around if folks had become familiar with it throughout the years. It's Paul had an Omni and a Scout. I think he said he had a Scout or wanted a Scout. But certainly it's stuff that some folks' dreams were made of anyway, and still are. They're still in production. As a matter of fact, Hamtech, I was just reading, is moving. They are located in a town called Sevierville, Tennessee, on a street called Dolly Parton Parkway. And I'm not even going to go there. But they are moving down the parkway, apparently, to a new building. They are moving to, more modern headquarters. And everybody's really looking forward to it. Therefore, the 10 Tech Ham Fest that Gordon was talking about is not going to be held this year. But apparently they're going to be having a moving sale. Which I love. This is one reason why I love them. This is a small company. This is like, I don't know how many people work there, but I think it's like 25, 30 people. I mean, that's it. And they do things like that. They have a moving sale and things, you know. It's pretty cool. Never having had contact with them, they tell you, I've certainly read in blogs and stuff that you can reach people there very easily, and it's just like, it's a whole different atmosphere. You're just talking to, it's like talking to your garage mechanic or something, except that they're honest. It's really very, very different. I see KLR had a Triton and an Argosy. Paul had an Argonaut. That's right. So he was using some stuff. So maybe he can come aboard. KLR, can you come aboard and tell us a little bit more about your Triton and your Argosy? Okay, he has no mic, so he can't. Okay, no problemo. But thanks for the comments in the text box anyway. That's great. So we were talking about the stuff that they made through the years. They've got a new rig out now, which really looks pretty cool. QRP is starting to become something very much in vogue lately, and that's pretty cool. What QRP? I know we have a class of new hams out there listening. And in case you're not familiar with the term, QRP is operating at very low power, typically between 1, sometimes even less than 1 watt, up to about 20 watts. I think that's probably the high side of the QRP definition. But you're certainly not putting 100 or 500 plus watts out into an antenna. You're operating on some very reduced power. And as Paul said, you know, you don't need a lot of power to get the job done. You need to know what you're doing, and you need a good antenna. And with 20 watts, you can work the world. It is definitely doable. So QRP is becoming kind of I keep on saying the cult item, but it's not. It's just becoming more popular now. And rightly so. There's a lot of interest in it. That's what I was trying to say. And then Intentech came out with a tiny little rig. And it's a kind of a neat looking thing. It's called the Rebel, the Intentech Rebel. It is a transceiver. It is basically a return to the era where hobbyists could routinely modify, change, and improve their equipment. Let me buy a nickel. I'll tell you a little bit about this. In addition to modifying the electric circuit, your hobbyist can further enhance his radio through programming the processor. Okay, generating 5 watts in the 20 and 40 meter CW bands as shipped. Any properly licensed amateur can get on the air immediately, simply connecting an antenna and a key and a power supply. As a standalone low power transmitter, this transceiver. This unit is already a useful tool, but that's only the beginning. It's built around the Arduino compatible chip kit, Uno 32 processor. Now, using the open source Arduino programming environment, the user can adjust and modify the existing functions of this unit, or go further and add features beyond its basic design. Now, we talked about Arduino a while ago on Ask and Elmer. I'm busy accumulating Arduino parts. I already have a display, I'm going to be playing with it. That definitely sounds like something I want to dive into, and that's another one we could throw out there too. I'll break off of this one, just wrap it up. Actually, the Rebel is out there. It's under $200, and it looks like more fun than a barrel of monkeys. So if you want to get into QRP and also play around with some open source hardware, great place for you to start, I would think, anyway. So that's that Intentech Rebel. I want to ask the question if anybody here has been fooling around with Arduino stuff. Why don't you let us know what's happening with that as we continue with this round of check-ins on Ask an Elmer.
Victor Alpha November.
Well, we had VAN, so let's hear from you, sir.
You asked about if anybody had been working with Arduino, and yes, I have. Absolutely love it. It's a great way of great little microcontroller to play with old projects. In fact, I got a book from the ARRL on the Arduino and Ham project. Looking forward to that, just so I can boost what I'm able to do, and hopefully I can have fun with that. And just got the Raspberry Pi. Haven't set that up yet, but hopefully I can monkey around with that open hardware as well. Just really, that really appeals to the tinkerer part of my ham. You know, it's a case of I came in as sort of a tinkerer before I was a ham, and now it's just a case of between the computer stuff and the open hardware stuff and the ham stuff, it's really going to be a lot of fun around here. But anyway, KC9VAN, back to that.
Well, thank you. And yeah, I've been meaning to play. You know, I put you know, some components on my birthday and Christmas lists, and you know, I get a little piece here, a little piece there. So eventually, I'm going to have enough to play around with. But it's fascinated me. I said, what a great idea. Same idea that here is some stuff that you can really have a lot of fun with and do things very, you know, in a very practical sense too. And there's an awful lot of resources for it that you don't have to be a super experienced hardware person or programming person. There's a lot of resources available to help you out so that you can have a lot of fun with it. And one of the things that this little Rebel unit does is incorporate that architecture that you can enhance functionality of this rig by doing your own programming also, you know, hardware interfacing. It's just pretty neat. It's a great place to start in a lot of different fields, whether you're starting out with QRP and you want to get into that a little bit, but it's also a great resource or a great starting point for getting involved in the Arduino platform too. So thank you, sir, and we continue with Ask an Elmer. So that was our bit on Temtech. I just figured, what the heck, be a nice thing to be talking about this morning. Good company, certainly a lot of fans, and who knows, maybe one day I'll be talking about the fact that I scored a Pegasus, or maybe who knows, maybe I'll sell off a few guitars and buy an Eagle. I don't know. We'll find out. I don't know. My hands are getting more arthritis, so what the heck. But let's go to some other things. Okay, speaking of arthritis, here's something I didn't know, but being over 60, I will say thumbs up to this right after I buy a nickel. And what I am saying thumbs up to is that the AARP endorses amateur radio. This is something I found while digging through the archives of the AARRL. So this is AARP endorsing AARRL, I guess, promoting the lifelong learning for their members. Susan Ayers Walker wrote, "Finding your hobby online" for the AARP website. What's the first and most prominent activity listed to keep the mind active and functional? It's amateur radio. Here's what the article had to say. Long before the Internet was created, the amateur radio network was the way people from all over the world can connect. Amateur or ham radio operators created vast social networks, just like this one, by talking long distances to other radio enthusiasts, making distant friends and exchanging calling cards. It is this linkage of radio enthusiasts that is ready to help communication flow in case of disaster or weather emergency. The AARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, has an informative website with lots of news and information, plus info on getting started, on finding a chapter in your area. If you want more information, just go to the AARRL website. In other news, more than 300 amateur radio volunteers supported the 2014 Boston Marathon on a beautiful New England spring day, yet another umbrella of heightened security. More than 300 amateur radio volunteers provided communication support for the 118th running of the Boston Marathon on April 21. In a show of solidarity following last year's tragic bombings close to the finish line, a near-record number of runners, that was over 36,000, turned out for Patriots Day, along with a huge outpouring of spectators. The Boston Marathon is a major public service event for the region's amateur volunteers. And finally, have you heard or QSO'd with any of these stations? Let me just buy a quick nickel. If you've listened to this net for a while, you know that my shack downstairs is currently under reconstruction, and it's kind of on a secondary basis to the reconstruction of the rest of the house. When I get time to work on that from working on the rest of this place, we do things. But eventually, it's going to get finished, and I'm figuring sometime this summer. But I do listen, so my check may be down, but I do listen, and I have heard these stations IDing as W1AW something. There's a suffix there, and I really wasn't sure what that was all about, but now I do. In conjunction with the 100th anniversary of the AARRL, the AARRL Centennial QSO Party kicked off this year for a one-year-long operating event in which participants can accumulate points and win awards. The event's open to all, although only AARRL members and appointees, elected officials, HQ staff, are worth getting points. Working W1AW something from each state is worth 5 points per contact, but that's what that's all about. These guys are operating mobile from all 50 states, and when you see that suffix, that's what they're doing. They're working on that on that award. I didn't know that, so that's news for me. Let's see. We've got a couple of notes here in the text box. Let me just kind of check them out before we throw it open to some more more check-ins. And it's like AAT and VAN. Yep, and VAN is saying that it's a good note to pass along. As far as the Arduino goes, that the programming environment for the Arduino works on Windows, Mac, and Linux. So no matter what you're running, you can fool around with it. Don't let your OS stand in your way. So let's take some more check-ins right now. We're into the second hour of the net. Let's see if we can get a few more in here before we say goodbye to everybody. One more time around. Let's take some check-ins as we continue Asking Elmer here on South Cars. Looking for check-ins right now. Okay, nothing heard, and that's okay. As Bugs Bunny would say, that's all she wrote. So I will say this then. Thank you for joining us. As always, it's been great. I have a lot of fun doing this net. I hope you do too. We had some good stuff to kick around this morning, and I will look forward to doing this again with you guys. So we will see you next time on Askin' Elmer. This has been South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. VoIPnet schedules and general information may be found on the VoIP.southcars.com website. Your net control for this session has been KC2RMO saying 73 and closing this VoIP session. Thanks for your participation. This net is closed.